Holy people of God, come to hear the word, come to do the word, come to experience comfort, come to experience challenge, come to find joy, come to find humanity, come to find community, come to find church, come to find God. Good morning. Welcome to Concordia United Methodist Church. My name is Pastor Claire Douglas, and I'm so excited to be here with all of you this morning. I have a couple of announcements. First of all, a lot of you have asked me when you are going to get more Pixar movies. And I have an answer for you on that. On November 8th, we are going to show a full-length Pixar movie up. I'm here at church. Come enjoy some popcorn with us and enjoy a little bit more Pixar. So again, November 8th in the evening, we are going to watch Up together. Also today, after the worship service, we will have our stewardship commitment Sunday meal. Please join us in Fellowship Hall for that. And I know that Jane has an announcement regarding, or several announcements regarding the bazaar. And thank you to the United Methodist Women for that wonderful ministry of our church. Thank you for all that you do to help raise money for people around the world. Those are the end of my announcements. Are there any announcements I missed? No, it's a good day for me. Please join me in singing hymn number 408, The Gift of Love.
If you will do in our prayers, praise, brothers and sisters, boys and girls.
Come and worship.
Even if you're tired and worn out,
come and worship.
Lay down the heavy things you're carrying.
Come and worship.
Listen to what Jesus wants to tell you.
Come and worship.
See if you can discover how Jesus wants to use you. For Jesus is humble and gentle, and he will give us everything we need to follow him. You'll join me in prayer. Holy God, come into the chill of our existence and the cool of our soul. Bring the warmth of your presence, the glow of enthusiastic worship. Come into the routine of our church, into the familiar nature of our relationships. Bring the joy of good friends, the assurance that there are those of whom we can rely. O God, we rejoice that Jesus, the compassionate one, goes with us, calling us to acts of caring, showing us how much can be achieved if we work together. Amen. If you'll join us in the Red Book, page number 384.
Please be seated. I'm looking out today, and I don't see any of our young members of our congregation with us for children's time, but I have this wonderful little movie anyway, very, very short. Today we're going to be talking about, and I found out that a lot of the children were talking about in Sunday school, small ways to be compassionate and love each other. And I just loved this little video because this is such a wonderful example of that. Full disclosure, this is a Quaker Oats commercial. But hey, we got to get the a view of Christ in the places that we can.
I have been searching all of my days, all of my days. Many a road, you know, I've been walking on, all of my days.
Day after day, the good you bring to the table brings out the best in them. Quaker, we are the good we make.
So I hope you enjoyed that little video about...
Braxton was diagnosed with choroid plexus carcinoma, a brain tumor. St. Jude is helping us put away our fears.
I'm really making all of our tech people work these days. We have a lot going on today in worship, which is wonderful, which means I moved some things around from where they usually are. And one of those things is that I moved prayer time earlier in the worship service. Can you... Nope. I'm stuck in the front. Can you turn me down just a titch? I'm a little loud. I think that's part of the problem. Okay. Now we got it. I'd like to invite you to share any prayers that you may have this morning.
I wanted to say that my brother went in and they did some kind of laser surgery. He had a protruding artery, and so they cauterized it and all, and it should take about a week or so for it to heal, but he'll be fine. So thank you for your prayers.
So your brother had a protruding artery, but they were able to do surgery to cauterize it, and he's beginning to heal. Well, we say prayers for continued healing for him, and we pray that he would get better day by day.
Thank you.
Any other prayers this morning?
A good friend that I taught with, his mother passed away. Chris Grindy's mother passed away. So, you know,
We pray for Chris and for his family, a good friend of yours who you taught with, whose mother passed away this week. We know that in times of grief, it is so hard and one can feel so isolated from the world around them. We pray that his family would know that you're with them in this time and that they have a whole community that loves them and surrounds them in this moment. John Anderson, who's a member of the Black Hawk community, but who many of us here know, passed away, and his visitation is today. We pray for that entire church and that entire community, and we pray particularly for his family in this time that they would know the strength of God and the strength of those around them.
My brother-in-law, Jerry Keller, has had a heart surgery on Wednesday. And I'm traveling to Menominee for speaking engagement, same day.
We pray for Jerry, your brother-in-law,
yes,
who is having heart surgery on Wednesday. Yes. We pray that heart surgery would be successful and that God would guide the hands of the doctors and nurses that he may recover quickly and well. And you are traveling the same day for a speaking engagement to Menominee. We pray that that would be successful and that you would arrive there safely and would arrive home well and would be able to focus, knowing that your loved one is in the midst of surgery at that same time.
Travel mercies for Nelson and I that will be traveling and bring us safely back.
Traveling mercies for you and for Nelson, that you will have a wonderful time and that God will bring you safely back to us. I thought a lot about our candle prayer for today, and I doubt that this has hit the mainstream news media, but it has definitely hit the church news media. There is a gentleman whose name is John MacArthur, I believe, who's a famous book author, and this week he celebrated 50 years of his ministry, and while he was having a celebration for this that was widely publicized, took the opportunity to take a shot at a colleague of his who was a female book writer, and particularly a shot at her because she preached. And one of the things that he said in that speech was that female preachers should go home because there is no evidence of them in the Bible. So needless to say, those of us who are in ministry as women, we're a little flummoxed by that particular statement. I did not realize when I went into this profession, because the United Methodist Church has been ordaining women for over 60 years, that I was still going into a very male-dominated field, and one where not everybody understands that God has called me into ministry and to be your pastor. So for all of the wonderful women who preach around the world, and particularly for all of the young women who will preach in the future, let's pray. I invite you to silently pray.
Holy and loving God, you are a God of compassion. You know all of our joys and our fears. You know what is deep inside of our hearts. Lord, we know that you have given us each other to support each other, to lift each other up when we are down, to help us grow, to help us become closer to you. Lord, we pray for this wonderful community, for those who are with us and for those who are beyond our four walls, that they would know that they are not alone, that they are your beloved children. Lord, we pray particularly for those with health concerns. We pray that you would strengthen them, helping them to grow day by day, more and more able to be at home and with their families. Lord, we pray particularly for those with cancer. We pray that they would know that they are not alone. We pray that they would find good options, and that they would be able to continue to do the wonderful things that they love. We pray particularly for those who are in long-term care facilities or home confined. Lord, we know that the compassionate community of the church does not end at the doors to this sanctuary, but travels around the world to all those who you call by name. And Lord, we pray particularly for all of those who are experiencing grief. We pray that in this time of sadness that they would know the strength of God and the strength of their community, that they would know that they are never alone and that so many people walk alongside them. We pray this as we pray the prayer you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The reading for today is in Psalm 31, 1 through 8. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that is hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. You hate those who pay regardless of worthless idols. Who pay regard to worthless idols. But I trust in you, Lord. I will exalt and rejoice in your steadfast love, because you have seen my affliction. You have taken heed of my adversities, and have not delivered me into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a broad place. That concludes reading for today.
We've been talking for the past couple weeks about living courageously, along with our stewardship campaign. And this is technically the last week of our stewardship campaign, but I'm going to tell you a secret. You get to live courageously one more week beyond this week. So this is our second to last week to live courageously, because the article that I based this on had five things, and the fifth one was so good I just had to throw it in for the fun of it. So you'll get one more next week. But our scripture reading today comes from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Two are better than one, because they have good return for their hard work. If either should fall, one can pick up the other. But how miserable are those who fall and don't have a companion to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they can stay warm. But how can anyone stay warm alone? Also, one can be overpowered, but two together can put up resistance. A three-stranded cord doesn't easily break. Will you pray with me? Holy God, we are so grateful for the many people in our lives who lift us up. We know that you have placed wonderful, compassionate people in our lives upon whom we can rely. And we are so thankful for those people. Help us to be the kind of people that other people can rely on, that we may grow stronger as a community, day by day. Amen. Several summers ago, I served as a chaplain in Glacier National Park. In addition to leading worship services on the weekends, I worked a day job as the lead sales associate in a general store within the park. Our general store was a combination of a gift shop, a camping store, and a grocery store. My position as lead cashier included some additional responsibilities, and among these was food orders, along with my manager and assistant manager. Thursdays were a tough day at the general store because they fell smack in the middle of two of our big food orders for the week. We got our first food order in on Wednesday night, often quite late, and our next one came in on Friday morning. So every Thursday morning, it was necessary to finish checking to see if we had received all of the products we ordered for Wednesday and order any products that we needed for Friday. As luck of the draw would have it, I was the member of the management team that happened to work every single Thursday morning. This meant that I spent the beginning of each Thursday racing around the store, hoping I had ordered enough ice cream to get us through the weekend, trying to figure out if there was any more bug spray hidden somewhere in the stockroom, and praying that I did not order 20 cases of Cheez-Its again. One such Thursday, I was kneeling on the floor of one of the aisles with paper spread out in front of me, squinting at different kinds of sunscreen and generally feeling a little panicked. As I was frantically bent over the order guide, a little girl who was probably about 3 years old ran around the corner. As she approached me, she reached out and patted the top of my head. I looked up startled and met her gaze. The two of us smiled at each other for a moment, and then she ran away. And as I stared in the direction from which she had come, I felt much better. This little girl had unknowingly given me what I needed most, a short, bright moment to hold on to in an otherwise overwhelming day. The word compassion literally means to suffer with one another. It means to take on each other's bad days and good days and live them together. Many times in life, we think it's the grand gestures that make a difference to those we love. But often it's the little things in life that help us to know that we are not alone in the midst of our struggles. A listening ear, a quick hug, a gentle pat on the top of the head can make all the difference in our lives. Frank Niles, the author of the article that this sermon series is based on, tells us that in order to live courageously, we need to surround ourselves with compassionate people. He recommends that we find the kind of people who lift us up when we are down, that we fill our lives with those who truly listen to us and see the best in us, the kind of people who help us to know that we are not alone and that we can handle the things in front of us, people who act as our cheerleaders and not our detractors. The book of Ecclesiastes gives us a similar piece of life wisdom. Sometimes attributed to the wise King Solomon, it was written by an author who wished to pass on wisdom to the world. The author writes, "Two are better than one because they have good return for their hard work. If either should fall, one can pick up the other. But how miserable are those who fall and don't have a companion to help them up? Also, if two lie down together, they can stay warm. But how can anyone stay warm alone? Also, one can be overpowered, but two together can put up a resistance. A three-stranded cord doesn't easily break." In life, there are so many moments when we are better off in community. There are so many moments when we need to work together to achieve our goals and lift each other up when we fall. So many moments when we need to help each other to receive our basic needs and to advocate for one another when we are afraid to advocate for ourselves. We're truly stronger in life when we live together and work together in community. But as strong as we are in community together, Ecclesiastes reminds us that we are even stronger with God at our side. Ecclesiastes says, "One can be overpowered, but two together can put up a resistance. A three-stranded cord doesn't easily break." While we together in community can put up a resistance, with God we are even stronger. We represent two strands of the cord, and God represents the third strand. Together in ministry with God, we have power we cannot even imagine. We can withstand trials and tribulations, even moments when it feels like our lives are falling apart. With the help of one another and God, we can achieve great things. The church is often a community where we find compassionate people in life who support us. It is a place where we work together to defend each other, to lift each other up when we are down. It isn't the big things that make us a compassionate community. It's the little things. It's the moments when we show up and show how much we deeply care that make a difference. Throughout the last several weeks, I have mentioned in the United Methodist Church that there are five gifts that we can give one another in order to support this community of compassionate people. These are not always big gifts. Oftentimes in life, it is the littlest gifts given with the greatest love that make the biggest difference. The first gift we are called to give as United Methodists is the gift of our prayers. One of the things I hear most often as your pastor is the impact that prayer has on those experiencing hardship. Prayer has a remarkable capacity to help those who feel invisible be seen, and to help those who feel helpless feel hopeful. Sharing our challenges and our concerns with God is one of the greatest blessings that we share as a community. Many other gifts that we share in the church, people could receive outside of this community. But prayer is one of the offices that is unique to the church. You probably won't find a group of compassionate people willing to pray for you at the gym, or your book club, or at work, or at school. Prayer is a gift that anyone can give, no matter how young or old. And every time you give the gift of prayer, you contribute something beautiful to all of us in this church. The second gift that we are called to give is the gift of our presence. As any parent knows, the power of showing up is strong. And you choosing to be with all of us here is a gift. I am well aware that everyone in this room, myself included, could think of 100 other things that we could do on a Sunday morning, or any other day of the week for that matter, rather than be here at church. But when we choose to be present together, we create an opportunity for us to share with one another in our suffering. We create an opportunity for us to invent new ideas. We invite Christ to be in our midst. After all, Jesus says, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be there." The third gift we are called to give each other is our financial resources. I would love to be able to tell you today that churches do not cost money, but that is unfortunately not so. We have a wonderful and beautiful building. We have an amazing music and programs and staff members, and we know all of these things cost money. But all of these wonderful resources that need constant upkeep are a blessing. They allow us to host community meals, camp in the community, and UMW bazaars. They allow us to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world and to add more people to our wonderful, compassionate community here at Concordia. And ultimately, the financial resources we give to this church reach beyond our four walls and travel across the world, blessing millions of people as they go. The fourth gift we are called to give is the gift of service. Jesus made it very clear when he washed his disciples' feet that followers of Christ were to put serving one another at the center of their lives. When we serve one another, we take on a new role. We see new perspectives. We challenge ourselves and we learn about who we are and who is around us. Service is an incredibly intimate gift to give one another. We literally give of ourselves and our talents and our time. There are countless ways to serve in this community and wash each other's feet. While our service may sometimes feel like endless meetings or having endless conversations, let me assure you that every way in which you serve in this community makes a difference to those around you. Let me assure you that you are not taken for granted. Each of you, regardless of how you choose to serve, touches lives in countless ways, and I, for one, am grateful for your gift. The fifth and final gift that we are called to give is to witness to our witness our faith to those around us. This is our newest gift in our United Methodist vows, and the one that people sometimes find confusing. It is deceptively simple. All you need to do is tell others about your faith and the story of God's love in your life. If you've ever tried to witness your faith to a family member or a friend or a stranger, you may well know that this gift is easier said than done. But we are not called to give gifts because they are easy to give. We are called to give them because they are needed. It is likely that there are people in your life who need a compassionate community. There are likely people in Sauk Prairie who need a church to call home and need a relationship with God in their lives. And if you cannot witness in word, witness to them in deed and trust that God will do the rest. God has a way of using all of our insignificant gifts to change the lives of those who need it. All five of these gifts are precious. These gifts may not always look like grand gestures. Sometimes they look like small, quiet acts. But they have the power to change the life of this compassionate community. It takes courage to share these kinds of gifts with those around you, and I do not take this courage for granted. Did you know that courage and concordia have the same root word meaning heart? Concordia means hearts together or with one heart. And courage means inner strength that comes from the heart. When we live in compassionate community with one another, sharing our gifts and trusting in God, we will find the courage to face our fears and the unity to live as one heart. Amen and amen. I'm going to go slightly out of order here. Not a ton. So in a little while, when we sing Take My Life and Let It Be, I'm going to invite all of you to come forward and to offer your gifts to God. If you have your little green envelope, you can place that in one of these. But I gave all of you today a card that has hearts together on it to represent Concordia. And I invite you to pick one thing that you're going to do to commit to share a gift with this community during the year. No one's going to look at this or judge you on your gift. but whatever small thing, whether it's to pray or to be present or to serve, if you'd write down something that would be meaningful to you and offer that to God. And when you come down, take with you a little heart. There are little wooden hearts in here to remind you of the gifts that we give each other each and every day in this community. I'm giving you a little bit of warning so you have some time to write. In the United Methodist Church, we pledge to give of ourselves in five ways through our prayers, our presence, our financial gifts, our service, and our witness. You have already given this church a gift by being here today. In a moment, the ushers will come forward to collect our financial gifts, located financial gifts. Thank you all for the many ways you give to God. I think. I might have been confusing with my instructions. I'm going to try again. Hold on to your green envelopes. Hold on to your little index cards. During Take My Life and Let It Be, when we're singing, we will come forward and put them on the altar. Is that? Yes. Okay. Continue.
Join me in the prayer of thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that we can always trust in you. You are an abundant God, and out of your great mercy, you have given us so much. We give you this offering today. With it, we worship you and give our whole selves to you. Please now take it and use it for your kingdom and your glory. Extend and multiply its reach and influence, we pray. May it be a great blessing to many. We ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Ladies, that was beautiful. In the United Methodist Church, we have a wonderful tradition called the Watch Night Service. This traditionally, or Wesley Covenant Service, this traditionally takes place on New Year's Eve. And it is a service in which you recommit to being involved in the church and to your commitment to God. I am not going to do that entire worship service, I solemnly swear. But I did steal the prayer from it. That's where this covenant prayer comes from. It's actually written by the founder of the Methodist Church, John Wesley, although this version has slightly updated language because he wrote with a lot of like ease and these. And so. but this is the prayer that John Wesley wrote for us to recommit ourselves as Methodists. So would you join me in saying the Wesley Covenant Prayer? I am no longer mine own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Place me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be put to work for you or set aside for you. Praised for you or criticized for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and fully surrender all things to your glory and service. And now, O wonderful and holy God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it also be made in heaven. Amen. I would invite us to sing together, Take My Life and Let It Be, number 399 in the red hymnal. And as you sing, if you would come up and you would place your gifts before God and take a little heart with you to remember the wonderful gifts that we all give each other together in this community. As we go forth, let us remember the wonderful gifts that we give each other each and every day. and the wonderful and beautiful gifts that God gives us. Amen.